Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. So welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yes, it is. It is a particularly fine episode today. We have a guest joining us who we both enjoy reading, don't we, Jen?
Very much so. Have done for many, many years on a weekly basis.
It's Guardian columnist Tim Dowling who will be talking. I'm going to give him a quiz about something my husband does that really annoys me. So look forward to that.
I mean, that's kind of his oeuvre.
Yeah, exactly.
Being an annoying husband. I do feel, I've always felt a lot of sympathy for his wife.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. So let's get on with it. Well, we are absolutely thrilled and delighted to be joined by a writer, a journalist, an author, and indeed a podcaster, a fellow podcaster. It's the one and only Mr. Tim Dowling.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. Tim and I actually met, Jenny, doing Radio 4's Woman's Hour.
Oh, yes.
Some years ago. And it's always very weird, isn't it, when you do Women's Hour? Because you're always on, like, there's always someone on before you who's from a war-torn nation who's single-handedly killed six soldiers and carried five children across a continent. And then it's like, and now Lucy and Tim are going to talk about hobbies.
We actually met once before that, but it was virtually. We try to do the equivalent of a Zoom call in the 90s.
Yes.
By getting six laptops sitting around a dinner table.
Right. I totally forgot that.
Failed so miserably.
Yes.
I don't hear anyone, and the feedback was incredible.
That is right. And the Guardian always attempting to be at the bleeding edge of technology, but always failing tiny bit.
Well, they shouldn't have put me in charge of that.
Well, it's lovely to see you again.
Yes, and this is all working very well all of a sudden.
Well, see, now we're in the future that we were predicting, and you're podcasting. We love your columns in The Guardian, obviously, and have done for many years.
Thank you very much.
But I'm very excited about your new podcast, Tim Dowling, Insult My Intelligence is what it's called, right?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's basically, we sit down and we think up topics that I feel like I should know something about, but I turns out I don't know anything about. And and usually I don't, you know, we did one about NFTs and I said, I don't even know what that stands for. And they explained to me what it stands for. And I said, that doesn't help me.
No.
So
fungibility is not a concept that I had ever been familiar with.
We never thought we'd need to know that.
No, it never bothered me at all. Things were fungible and that was fine. Until non-fungibility became a thing.
Yeah.
We all had to care.
Does it funge? It's like, does it blend?
Don't ask me.
No, we clearly don't. Well, I like the fact that one of the episodes of the podcast is called Why Am I Left-Handed?
Yeah.
Because
my producer son, Johnny, and I are both left-handed, as is one of my other, we are a majority left-handed household.
Wow.
So it's quite interesting.
Can I just come around and use your scissors?
Yeah, that's the one thing none of us can use is left-handed scissors. We've all adapted to varying levels to the world of right-handedness. And I wouldn't know what to do with a pair of left-handed scissors.
Oh, I won't come around and borrow your scissors then.
Have you got some?
No, to be honest, no. I don't, because we're a majority right-handed household. And in fact, my husband is quite scathing. I think he feels that being left-handed is a moral weakness. Mm. So I'm not allowed to have any adaptations.
The tyranny of the righties.
I don't think it's terribly good for you being left-handed. I don't think life expectancy is quite as good.
Mm. Wow. This is bleak. This has become very bleak.
This is why I'm making the most of every minute.
It's taken a dark turn early.
Well, I'm sure your new podcast will appeal greatly to the Fingers on Buzzers listeners because it is for those with an inquiring mind who love to learn. And is it fair to say that you are someone who loves to learn, Tim? And do you love to learn in a quizzing way?
I do. I like quizzes. I get very excited about something like the midweek double bill of Only Connect and University Challenge, where my wife's heart sinks at the point. There's always an argument. But I think I know enough to know that if I ever went on a TV quiz, my nerves would leave me standing there absolutely silent. I would have that mastermind, dead brain. Mm-hmm. So I have no interest in that. But I do like a pub quiz. I take it way too seriously.
Well, we always have to ask your specialist subject in a pub quiz, and what would your specialist subject on Mastermind be?
On a pub quiz, I'm basically there to do the easy question about American presidents, because there's always one, and I can always do it. And it's only hard if you're British. It's easy if you're American. So I usually bow out after that bit. I can't do anything to do with pop music or culture from Britain before 1990 or anything from America that happened after 1990. So I'm a bit useless. My specialist subject for Mastermind is you're just trying to think of, it's like when you do book club, you want to pick a book you've already read, something I've already done all the research for, I guess, would be King C. Gillette, the inventor of the disposable razor.
Oh,
there's only two biographies of him and I wrote one of them.
This is perfect. One of them. I'm surprised that there are two, but
I think the world decided that one was enough in the end.
That is niche, isn't it? That is absolutely the right kind of subject for Mastermind, because it's unlikely to have been done before.
It's a very short book, and so that, you know, everything you need to know or could possibly know or want to know about him comes in at just under 100 pages.
Are there any sort of quick fact nuggets that you could give us in case they ever come up in quizzes?
The year before he thought up the idea, he was a utopian. So he dreamed and wrote a book called The Human Drift in 1894 about basically a utopian society where everybody lived in one single city on the shores of Niagara Falls, so they could have free electricity from the falls. He pushed this idea almost to the end of his life, even after he got famous for making razors, and nobody paid any attention to him.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, actually, he did have a sort of weird small following, but then he got into razors.
He went mainstream, man.
Well, there's a lot of money in razors. I mean,
And then he lost it all.
Did he?
Pretty much. When the Depression came, he died in 1932 in the teeth of the Depression, but he was very over-leveraged in property. I can't see this coming up on Mastermind.
I'm immediately going to purchase a biography of King C. Gillette.
Well, there are two.
Which one do I choose?
make sure you get the right one, Jen. Come on. Well, that is brilliant. And, you know, I love it when people come onto this podcast and genuinely teach us something we didn't know before.
Yeah, because my instinct for Mastermind would be to ask just to do general knowledge twice.
if only that was a possibility.
Because I always think they're all the, you know, the people who've really boned up on their subject. I was thinking, you're not very good at the general knowledge bit, are you? Whereas yes. I am medium at both.
And so 1990, obviously, was that the year that you came to?
It's the first time I set foot in Britain, yeah.
Nice. So up until that point, you were being raised on American game shows and quiz shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, to us, because we didn't get really imported American game shows and quiz shows, we'd get dramas, we'd get comedies. But so things like Jeopardy, we often talk about the fact that Jeopardy is not really known.
It's amazing that there is no like British version, because so many of the things like University Challenge are, you know, I think it still says, you know,
College Bowl, yeah.
America, but College Bowl, yeah. And I think Match Game had some equivalent that I don't
know. Mystery and Mrs.
Blankety Blank.
Oh, that's okay. Blankety Blank.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing I can't really translate.
That some attempts have been made to bring Jeopardy to the UK, but they failed very early on for no real reason. You'd think that it's such a purist form of quiz that we would be all over it.
It's a bigger deal than it ever was in America.
Oh, the controversy recently about who's going to take over hosting after the loss of dear Alex Trebek. Oh, my God. It's still rumbling on, still rumbling.
Didn't they have sort of stand-in, haven't they tried a few people out?
Someone had to step down, didn't they?
Yeah, so they did, for the first half of the year, I think they did sort of a guest host thing, so a lot of people got 2 weeks worth of shows, and the fans were very keen on quite a few of them, and then, lo and behold, who gets the job but the executive producer?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then some bad behaviour of him in the past towards women was unearthed, and he stood down. And I don't think they've resolved it as at time of recording, but they sort of stepped back a little bit. He was going to do all the hosting. Then they said, no, we're going to do a primetime version. And that's going to be Mayim Bialik from Big Bang Theory, who was one of the favourites when they did the guest hosting. But she only got sort of a few of the specials rather than the daily job, which that's the prestige. You want to be on TV every single day asking the questions.
When people watch quiz shows, yeah. this is a Pandora's box of scandal we've opened.
It really, really is. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. But it shows how beloved a format it is.
Mm.
And it's part of the fabric of life in US TV. So
sitting
obviously
in a bar. At the bar, watching Jeopardy in the afternoon is a great way to spend an afternoon.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
A dive bar. And the people around you are sort of answering the questions. Everyone's paying attention. It's fun. What else do we have? We had, like, Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
Which I guess is best known in this country. That's where the Monty Hall problem comes from.
That's right. Yes. I mean, I have never seen an episode of Let's Make a Deal, created by Stefan Hatos and Monty Hall. I've just Googled it. I mean, clearly. but yeah, Monty Hall, Bob Hilton, Billy Bush and Wayne Brady who presented it.
I love the idea of the Monty Hall problem. Tim, do you want to explain the Monty Hall problem?
The Monty Hall problem is, let me see. It's basically a choice between three doors. It's usually like boat or man-eating tiger. Or it's two goat. It's a goat. So what happens is that you've got a choice between a goat or a car, basically.
Yeah.
And they take one away.
Yeah.
And the question is whether at the beginning you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting the car.
Yeah.
But when you take one away, which is obviously not going to be, then everybody thinks you have a 50-50 chance or that you still have a 1 in 3 chance.
Yeah.
But you do in fact have what? I don't know.
So you should always change doors.
Never stick with the first door
because the probability was 1 in 3. And then if you change doors, then that door has a 50-50 chance of being the right door.
If you stick, it's still a 1 in 3, even though there's only 2 boxes. But if you change, it's a 1 in 2. It's really counterintuitive.
It's incredibly
paradoxical. But apparently there are maths. The maths is right.
I know. I mean, I have had this explained to me about 158 times in my life, and I sit there and I go, yeah, of course it makes perfect sense. Of course, yeah, it's probability. Yeah, I get it. And then even now I'm like, nah,
it doesn't really make sense.
It just gave me something to talk about when I was watching Deal or No Deal. Like, why wouldn't you change? Swap. Monty Hall. And people look at me like, what's a Monty Hall now?
I'm looking through some other, like, 1970s and 80s games. Name That Tune originated in America.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
Name That Tune, Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Yes, we did get that. We got that. That was probably before. No, probably about when you came over. We got.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, we had Nicky Campbell. Bradley Walsh did it.
We had Pat Sajak.
Of course, you did. Yeah.
I loved this.
And Vanna White was the Turner.
Yeah,
she's still doing it.
I think she might be. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know her, but I'm not as familiar with Pat.
Well, because you'd always get references in sitcoms. So the programs we did get, like sitcoms and dramas, they'd go, oh, you know, it's just like Vanna White. And so you'd go, well, I know the name, but I've no idea.
I mean, all my children, all their American history for a long time just came from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's how they knew things.
Absolutely the same. I credit The Simpsons with a lot of my knowledge, specifically about American culture. So that I take part in an online quiz league, which is American, called Learned League, where we do, you know, 6 questions every single day. And so many of them are US culture. And what you can do, you get an opponent every day and they look at some of your basic biographical data and they look at it and they go, she's English. I don't think she's going to know about Vanna White. I'll score her 3 points for that. I'm like, yes, come on. I've got you. Every time. I don't know anything about, you know, British military history, but US game shows. I mean,
American game show hostesses.
There you go.
Winning Streak. I mean, some of these I've never heard of.
I've never heard Winning Streak.
Tattletales.
Oh, that sounds good.
I remember Tattletales, but I can't remember anything about how it works.
It was hosted by Bert Convy.
I remember Bert Convy.
There you go.
Was it in Hogan's Heroes as well?
Oh, it was based on He Said, She Said, and it was questions asked about celebrity couples' personal lives.
Oh, I know someone who'd love that. Gossip Queens.
Oh, yeah. It's like The Dating Game, I guess, wasn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, sort of like celebrity mystery and misses, I suppose. Oh, look, they had Jerry Stiller and Anne Meara did it, and Michael J. Fox and his girlfriend Nancy. yeah,
we need to dig some of these out of the archives. Absolutely.
Yes, this is amazing. Orson Bean. I don't know who Orson Bean is.
I remember Orson Bean. Orson Bean was always, you know, you could guarantee him to get murdered in a Columbo.
Oh, I know the guy now. I watch a lot of Columbo now as well. That's my life.
I love Columbo.
Yeah. Sundays is back-to-back Columbo in this house.
I've got another Orson that I know now. That's the second Orson that I'm familiar with.
That might be the only two.
Oh, there we go. This is quite tic-tac-toe. Mm-hmm.
Tic-tac-toe. I mean, it's tic-tac-toe, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing.
I don't think it's very good. I don't.
Press Your Luck.
Never heard of it.
No?
Sounds made up.
The only reason I know about Press Your Luck is part of the main game is there is a light going around a screen and you have to press your button and it hits a certain square and you win that prize or whatever. And some guy had managed to figure out the pattern. And he absolutely gamed the system for week after week after week. He was back like, yes, I got the jackpot every single time. So they had to create a whole new algorithm for how this computerized fancy system worked.
I think Hollywood Squares was the biggest one when I was a child.
Oh, Celebrity Squares. Yeah.
Who was in your squares then? Can you remember anyone in
Someone called a comedian called Paul Lynde was always in the middle.
Yeah. I know that from Snatch Game. RuPaul is my other reference point now for these things.
And then it sort of rotated. You get very excited if the mom from the Brady Bunch was on.
Did you have big prizes then? Because we obviously in Britain didn't have the best of prizes. Did you notice when you came over here that our game show prizes
that it was a bit... Well, I'm not sure that you were still in the era of that little conveyor belt going by with a sort of tea set on it. But we had things like The Price is Right.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They would let you literally win a boat every day. And you think, oh, what are they? I always thought, what are they going to do with that? How? I mean, you basically come to LA for a holiday and you've gone to this free game show and now you've got a boat. You've got to pay boat tax. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's on a trailer. Do you own the trailer?
You've got to get that back to Arizona somehow.
Yeah. And just what? Leave it in your yard. I mean, people who want boats have trouble with boats.
Yeah. Well, we had, because Bullseye, legendarily, there was a quiz show called Bullseye, which was on just before you arrived.
Jim Bowen.
Yeah.
I have a false memory that I try to build. From, you know, just gossip and things that I've heard.
But that was the same deal where people won boats, and so, although not as often as you would think. But what we discovered on this very podcast, Tim, that people who won the cars, because you won it in a pair, like they were two players, so generally they sold them, and we had quite a detailed rundown on how. Yeah.
It was fine if it was a married couple, but usually it was a pair of mates who turned up and they had to negotiate who got which prize.
Also, the depreciation on that car once they've put it off the lot and put it into a TV studio.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd rather have had the cash, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Can we play a game for money?
Which yes. Back then, but you couldn't back then. We had law until the mid-90s. Well. Yeah.
And that's true.
And then the big money came in, then Millionaire came in and everything changed. It was all about the moolah.
And the knowledge. I mean, some of these games were like, you know, have to, Price is Right, it was the dumbest game in the face of the earth. You're just guessing the price. You're not even guessing price, you're just going higher or lower.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just sneaking in.
And then nobody ever knew anything. It's like, have you ever been shopping?
Yes, I know, but then I would always. I think you lose your mind, as you said, Tim, about quizzing on television. I think game showing quizzing, you just go, I don't know what anything's worth anymore, and I don't. I don't understand things. Now, shall we do you some quizzing? Because I feel we've had you here.
This should be enough. I should be nervous enough to fail this as well.
No, I think you're going to do very well. Well, I'm going to do you a very quick quiz on something that you do. That my husband also does.
Uh-oh.
I could make the subject. So when my husband does this, he clears the room. Me, the kids, the cats, we all leave immediately. The cats actually run into the garden. And me and the kids try and get as far away as possible. So
this could still be a couple of things, I guess.
Shall I? I mean, I'll tell you just to spare any embarrassment. It is playing the banjo.
Yeah, I thought that's where we were heading.
I just didn't know what else you were going to say, Tim. So I didn't like to say.
I didn't want to say banjo and then have it not be banjo.
So you are the banjo player, and indeed you also play flat guitar in the band Police Dog Hogan.
Yes, I do.
And flat guitar is that's the sort of on your lap?
I just call it flat guitar because the one I have is just a regular guitar that I play flat.
I see.
Because the other car, you know, the dobro or whatever people call them, or a resonator guitar, I don't have one of those. I just have my cheap acoustic that I've jacked up the strings a little bit.
You just like,
because I'm not that good is the thing. I don't deserve better.
Well, I didn't know anything about the banjo, but I've checked some questions with my husband, and I'm just going to do a very quick five question quiz about the banjo. So which banjo playing actor and comedian has won an Emmy, a Grammy and an Honorary Academy Award?
Steve Martin.
It is.
It's gotta be.
Yes.
Home question for Lucy, that one.
I know. I did. That was my special subject on Mastermind. Tim was Steve Martin.
Was Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Ah.
I mean, more concentrating on the comedy than the banjo, I'll be honest. but they did. I think they asked one question about the banjo. I think it was The Crow. You know, the album basically. Yeah.
Phew, because you could go quite deep with Steve Martin and banjo, I think.
Well, quite. My husband has.
I saw him at Queen Elizabeth Hall or something.
Did
which
you?
Is bad. And they were brilliant.
Yeah.
And I thought he'd take it very seriously and wouldn't do anything funny, you know. And he was hilarious between songs.
Well, because Woody Allen used to be very dull when he played the clarinet, didn't he?
Yeah.
The banjo features prominently in bluegrass music, which is most commonly associated with which U.S. state?
Bluegrass is Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky's the bluegrass state.
It sure is. Although animal skin was traditionally used, what material is the membrane of a banjo now typically made of?
Oh, that's so technical.
Mm.
It's exactly the same stuff that drums are made of. I mean, it is a drum.
Yes.
It's like, is it cellulose?
Well, do you know what? I've just got plastic.
Well, it's more of a cellulose, yeah.
Yeah, what I should
cellulose
have done.
Cellulose is ping pong balls, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a bit... It's like fake skin. It's, you know, it's exactly what a snare drum is covered in, basically.
Can we say plastic?
Just say plastic.
You both get a point. All right.
That'll probably do. Okay. What prolific American banjoist has been nominated in more Grammy Award categories than any other musician?
Oh.
Oh.
I like this fact.
Prolific. Can you repeat that question?
Yes. Which prolific American banjoist has been nominated in more Grammy Award categories than any other musician? This is the only other banjo player I've heard of, apart from
Then it is the absolutely formidable genius Earl Scruggs.
No.
No?
No, there's one more that I've heard.
Too many banjo players.
More contemporary than Earl Scruggs. Obviously, I have actually. Now I think about it, I've heard of four banjo players. It is the one and only Bella Fleck.
Is it?
Yes.
Bella Fleck's one more. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't fact-checked this question, so
let's not.
listeners to... but yes, Bella Fleck.
Okay, well, I'd like to say that I was going to say Bella Fleck.
Yeah, well, let's edit it so you did.
Okay.
And then the final question is, what anti-war song written by banjoist Peter Seeger features verses from the Book of Ecclesiastes?
Oh, if I wasn't nervous, I'd have this.
I know, it is a tricky question. My husband didn't get it either, if that's any
It's not We Shall Overcome.
It's not We Shall Overcome, no. I mean, you'll know it when I say it, but I can't really think. It was more famously recorded by the Byrds.
Turn, Turn, Turn.
Yes.
No way.
Correct.
Pete Seeger wrote Turn, Turn, Turn.
Pete Seeger wrote Turn, Turn, Turn. I think he gave most of his royalties away to charity.
He also cut Bob Dylan's electrical cables with an axe, didn't he?
Did he? Good for him.
He was the one who complained about Bob Dylan going electric at the Newport Folk Festival and tried to shut it down.
Good on him.
Brilliant. Well, now we know more about Pete Seeger than, because I would never have known that Pete Seeger played the banjo.
Again, you might want to check anything I say.
Okay, well, let's just leave it to the listeners. Basically, listeners, trust nothing we say.
Fact check yourselves.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're busy people. Well, it's been an absolute delight talking to you, Tim, and I feel we've got to know you a bit more, but the last thing we must do is quiz alongside you, thanks to our producer, Amanda. So, Amanda... We'll generally give us all a quiz to round out the episode. So, Amanda, are you there?
I'm here. As you have just been talking about the banjo, and you've mentioned that Tim plays in a band called Police Dog Hogan, and the genre is bluegrass. Now, I did sort of try and maybe sort of think of a quiz about bluegrass, but then I kind of thought that you guys would be at real disadvantage, Lucy and Jen. So I thought I'm just going to level out the playing field. And so you're all going to get one question each on the theme of something blue. And then you see where I'm going with this. And then you'll all get another question each. And it's connected to grass in various forms.
Ooh. Okay.
So we'll have to see about that. So I'm going to start guests first. So Tim, this is your blue question.
Okay.
Okay. Which performance art group was formed by Chris Wink, Matt Goldman and Phil Stanton on Manhattan's Lower East Side in 1987?
Okay. None of those names mean anything to me. But it's New York. I think I know it, though.
I think you might know it as well. Go
is
on.
It the Blue Man Group?
You're 100% correct. Yes. All right. Lovely. Right. Jenny, over
Very
to you.
Good.
Jenny, which Dennis Potter television play was first broadcast on the 30th of January, 1979, as part of the BBC's Play for Today series?
I remember this as the first play at the Bolton Octagon that I wasn't allowed to go and see. And I was really annoyed because I was like, it's about children. It's like, no, it's Blue Remembered Hills. They're all playing kids, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For me, I watched the version on TV with Michael Elphick and Helen Mirren as well.
Yes.
I think I might rewatch that later on today, actually. Lucy, your blue question. Which member of the boy band Blue got papped whilst urinating at the same time as using a cash point in London's glittering West End?
What a question.
There's I love this question. There really is, isn't there? I mean, what a time-saving exercise that was. Urinating while using a cash point. Now, I'm trying to think of... So there's Lee, there's Anthony and Simon. Is that it? Were there just three of them?
There's one more.
Lee, Anthony, Simon, and the other one. So I'm going to say it's not the other one because I can't remember his name.
Duncan.
Duncan. Of course, Duncan.
He'll be very upset. He'll be very upset with you.
The main one, wasn't he?
He was the main one. Yeah. How can I forget Duncan?
Oh, don't say they all thought they were the main one, but they were all
And that's why they
equal.
Failed.
They were all equal.
I can't believe it of Duncan. I mean, I can't believe he stooped so low.
Which one do you think would...
Oh, God.
I mean, it's obvious.
I know who I think.
It's obvious.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
I know what I'd have gone for right away.
Oh, well, I don't. I'll go for Lee then. I'll go for Lee.
It was Anthony Costa.
I would have been wrong then.
I tell
my cousin Lee.
This it was a cash point that I used to use quite a lot when I worked in Leicester Square. And that stain, I'm not joking, was just there for over a year. It was there for...
What was he drinking?
Well, something very potent. It was just... that was the main cash point. You know, this was very much still, I think this was probably about 10 years ago, when cash still kind of featured. You needed it. So that cash point was my main cash point. And... absolutely filthy behaviour. So that's
the Anthony Costa Memorial Cash Point.
Yeah, did it become? Was it a site of pilgrimage?
I think we should start our walking tour of London.
It'll have a yellow plaque.
Well, if we added the cash point that Reg Varney first used, you know, we could probably do. There's probably
a cash point tour. Yeah. Let's coming soon happen. From Fingers on Buses Enterprises.
Right, we've got two.
Celebrity cash points.
Celebrity cash points and what they did there. Okay, well done. So not bad on the blue round there. Tim, so we're on to grass now. Which song first recorded in 1965 by Johnny Darnell was a hit for Tom Jones in 1966 and then also recorded by Elvis Presley, Kenny Rogers and Catherine Jenkins, amongst many others?
I think I know this one too.
I think you might.
I think you might have made this easy for me.
Not at all.
Because I'm so faint of heart. unless I get this wrong. Is it Green Green Grass of Home?
Absolutely. Yay. 2 out of 2. Well done.
I almost put 3 greens in a panic, and I thought, technically disqualified.
Remove a third of a point.
Jenny, your grass question. The largest variety of grass grows up to 151 feet tall, but what is it otherwise known as? It's part of the family, I think.
I'm just trying to think how specific you want. It'll be a kind of bamboo. So I'm just going to say bamboo, me old bamboo.
Your old bamboo. Yeah, absolutely. It's the giant bamboo. So,
hey.
Yeah.
Huge bamboo.
Huge bamboo, mammoth bamboo. So, Lucy, your grass question. Which kind of grass is widely associated with swingers in suburban areas?
Lucy's got the greatest question.
Why for me, Amanda? What are you suggesting?
Where is it you live again?
I live in London Zone 6.
I'm sure this particular kind of grass features quite heavily in the neighbourhoods around there.
I do not know what you're implying about my neighbours. We're just all like hot tubs.
King gardeners.
Yeah. It's very robust, is the thing.
Yes, what do you know?
You don't have to water it or anything.
My friend Kerry O'Leary, she had pampas grass in her porch when we were growing up, and then we all found out what it meant, and she was like, "No, it's not." And her mum and dad, I should say here and now, they weren't, and they didn't. But then one time, her mum and dad were away, and we had a house party at Kerry's house, and somebody put a fag out in the pampas grass, and it went up like
a cinder box.
Oh my god! They came back, and the porch was singed.
Wow. Oh no! You don't want a singed porch. That's one of the worst outcomes of swinging.
It is.
It's a very
bad sign that something went wrong.
Immediate turn off. Yeah, there was a few neighbours around the area that I grew up. That a certain, you know, couple that lived around the corner. And when I found out, I mean, I didn't know until about 5 years ago that pampas grass was, you know, the signature swingers, signal. And then I remembered. The house with, I mean, it was a huge plume as well that you couldn't miss it. So good for them. It's a boring area. So
good for them.
You all did really well then. Well done.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda, for a wonderful quiz. And thank you so much, Tim Dowling, for being a brilliant guest and talking to us about all manner of exciting stuff. And we will be listening to your podcast, Insult My Intelligence.
Thank you very much.
What a pleasure it was having a chat to Tim, and do all listen to his podcast and listen to the next episode of ours, because we'll be seeing you again very soon on
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, that's woken people up, hasn't it?
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.